It's the end of April. It's time to overreact. Yes, welcome into another episode of First Pitch, your daily source of baseball talk. I'm your host, Troy Brock. You can find me on Twitter at Troy B Baseball. He's Drew Crabtree. You can follow him on the Twitter machine at Drew Crabtree 12. And we're going to get to the Chicago Cubs. And do they have the best chances to win the World Series right now? Who knows? We're going to get to the New York Mets, who have played the weakest schedule in baseball so far. A little bit of an exaggeration there, but one of the weakest schedules in baseball so far. But if you're watching on YouTube, hit that subscribe button, turn on the notification icon so you can be notified when another episode just like this goes live. If you're listening on audio, give us a five-star rating, share the show with your friends, send them to firstpitchpodcast.com so they can get their daily source of baseball talk. How you doing this morning, Drew?
Not too bad. Didn't have any baseball for the Reds yesterday. They got rained out, but we got a doubleheader today, and everyone loves, you know, afternoon and evening baseball. Yeah, doing all right today.
Yeah, hell yeah, man. That's awesome. Yeah, I last night was the first time I'd watched a baseball game in 5 or 6 days. And, you know, I remembered in those 5 or 6 days, I remembered what it was like to not be stressed in life. And then last night, it just came back to remind me what it's like to be stressed in life. And so it was still a fun time. It was a good game, but it was a stressful game to say the least. And there was a lot of fun games yesterday, minus one. So we're going to get into those now. And the Guardians beat the Twins in the first game of the day, 2-1. Guardians move to 16-13. Twins fall to 13-17. Emmanuel Clase got the win. He is 4-0 with a 6.57 ERA. Yankees kept it close with the Orioles, but still pulled out. They won 15-3. Carlos Rodon had a perfect game into the sixth inning, I believe, before he lost it. And also, the Yankees, for the second time this season, started the game with back-to-back-to-back home runs. Both of them came on the 29th day of the month. So it's they do not play on May 29th, so it will not be a three-month stretch. But the Yankees are now 18-12. Orioles fall to 11-18. Rodon, of course, got the win. He is 4-3 with a 3.43 ERA. Kyle Gibson got the loss in his season debut. He is 0-1 with a 22.09 ERA. Cubs beat the Pirates. Cubs are 1-9. They are now 18-12. While the Pirates fall to 11-19. Shota Imanaga got the win. He is 3-1 with a 2.77 ERA. Andrew Haney got the loss. He's 2-2 with a 2.50 ERA. And Imanaga left the game early with some cramping in his hamstring, I believe it was. So definitely something to keep an eye on there. I have not seen any other news about that as of time of recording. Nationals and the Phillies. Phillies won that one 7-6 in a back-and-forth ball game at the end. It was a pitcher's duel up until the bullpens came in, as these two teams have two of the worst bullpens in baseball per their ERA. Of course, for the Phillies, it is more usage than skill, but I digress. Phillies are now 16-13. Nationals fall to 13-17. Orion Kerkering with the buzzer win. He is 3-1 with a 5.56 ERA. And Finnegan with his first loss of the season. He is 0-1 with a 3.09 ERA. And I think that he has only blown 24 or 25 saves in his career. Seven of them have been against the Phillies after last night's blown save. So, yeah, probably don't throw him against the Phillies, but also don't sleep on the Nationals. Royals at speaking of that, CJ Abrams was a home run shy of the cycle in that game. He had a day and a half. Royals at the Rays. Royals win 3-1 to move to 15-15. Rays fall to 14-15. Michael Lorenzen got the win. He is 3-3 with a 3.48 ERA. Tosh Bradley got the loss. He's 2-2, but lowered his ERA to 4.58. Carlos Estevez picked up his eighth save of the year. Boston Red Sox at Toronto Blue Jays. Boston Red Sox win that one 10-2. Red Sox now are 17-14. Blue Jays fall to 13-16. Garrett Crochet gets the win, 3-2, 2.05 ERA. Bowden Francis takes the L, 2-4 with a 5.28 ERA. And Drew, I got to ask you, did you see that catch that Dalton Varsho made in the outfield in that game where he fell down and made a Savannah Bananas type catch getting up?
That's the first thing that I thought was Savannah Bananas. It's like he's backing up, he falls, he loses it, and he's just like, whoop, I got it. No, yeah, that was awesome. I saw that, and I'm like, that was very Savannah Bananas. It's like you got to go over the top and be crazy about it. And when they panned over to the pitcher, and the pitcher's just like, what did I just see? It was awesome. I loved it.
Yeah, that was a catch of the year, early catch of the year candidate for sure. Just stick your glove out and the ball will find it. Diamondbacks at the Mets. Mets win 8-3. They are now 21-9. Diamondbacks fall to 15-14. David Peterson gets the win. He's 2-1 with a 3.06 ERA. And Ed something Rodriguez, always forget if it's Edwin or Eduardo. He is Eduardo. Eduardo Rodriguez is now 1-3 with a 6.06 ERA. Brewers at the White Sox. Brewers win 7-2. They are back at 500 at 15-15. White Sox fall to 7-22. Freddie Peralta gets the win 3-2, 2.52 ERA, and Bryce Wilson takes the L 0-1 with a 5.00 ERA. Texas Rangers kept it close with the Athletics in Texas, not in Sacramento, but they eat one out 15-2. Suck on that, Yankees. Couldn't even allow less than three runs. Rangers are now 16-14. Athletics are 15-15. DeGrom gets the win. He's 1-1 with a 2.73 ERA. Dunning gets to save his first of the year. I guess he pitched three innings or more. Tigers at the Astros. Astros win 6-4 to move to 16-13. Tigers fall to 18-12. Sousa gets the win. His first of the year, 1-0. Blank ERA, and Olsen takes the loss. He's 3-2 with a 3.55 ERA. Braves at the Rockies. Braves win 8-2. They have now won 9 of their last 11 games. They are 14-15. Rockies are still the worst team in baseball, and they are 4-25. AJ Smith-Shawver gets the win. He's 1-2 with a 4.26 ERA. And Herman Marquez should probably not be pitching in Major League Baseball. He's 0-5, and his ERA continues to balloon. It is 9.82 as of last night's game. Angels at the Mariners. Mariners won 5-3 to move to 17-12. Angels continue their free fall. They are now 12-16. Bryce Miller gets the win, 2-3 with a 3.52 ERA. And Kohanowitz gets the loss. He's 1-4 with a 5.29 ERA. And Andres Munoz picks up his 11th save of the year. That's a lot of saves early in the year. That's what, a pace for like 50 or something? No. That's not how you math. Yeah, it is. It is how you math. Giants at the Padres. Padres win 7-4 to move to 18-11. Giants fall to 19-11. Nick Pivetta gets the win, 5-1 with a 1.78 ERA. Logan Webb takes the L, 3-2, 2.83 ERA. And Robert Suarez picks up his 11th save of the season. And the Dodgers eke one out against the Marlins, 15-2. Again, suck on that. Yankees couldn't even allow less than three runs. Dodgers are now 20-10. Marlins fall to 12-17. Sauer gets the win, 1-0 with a 2.70 ERA. And Sandy Alcantara has not been the same since Tommy John surgery. He is now 2-3 with an 8.31 ERA, and the likelihood of him being traded at the deadline continues to decrease. And, of course, the Cardinals and the Reds were postponed by rain. They will make it up with a split doubleheader today. Final thoughts on yesterday's ball games, Jerusef.
We might have jinxed the Tigers. I love a lot of baseball, a lot of runs scored. I knew what I wanted to say. I just could not say it. Braves, again, you cannot count them out. Yes, they're beating up on a double-A squad right now. And I like your comment that, you know, Marquez probably shouldn't be playing in Major League Baseball. A lot of their roster probably wouldn't be on the 40-man right now on a lot of teams. The Rockies are just bad. And I honestly, I feel bad for their fan base, because even if they're a divisional rival and stuff like that, like if the, I don't know if you can hear that, we've got like jets flying over. Even when the Pirates are like 100 games bad, I'm like, I feel bad for the fans and whatnot. And I feel bad for Rockies fans, because this is just god awful. And it's pathetic. And it's so disappointing. Hopefully they can figure out the rebuild and come back more surprising, kind of like how the A's have been, how they seem like they're a little bit ahead of schedule. Rockies just, I rooted for bad teams. I rooted for really bad teams. It's not fun. It's not fun at all.
Yeah. Just for a little more context on how bad the Rockies have been this year, the Chicago White Sox broke the record for most losses in a single season last year when they went 41-121. The Rockies are 4-25, which currently has them on pace to go 22-140. They are currently on pace to shatter the record that the White Sox set last year. It is not good. And I feel bad for Rockies fans, man. They're so bad for so long, and they don't get better. It's a poorly run organization from top to bottom. And there's so much that has to be done. Just clean house, fire everybody, all the players in the entire organization, get rid of them, get rid of all the staff, start over. Cause at this point you gotta throw it away and start. But
they look like they're an expansion squad right now. And they're bad at the plate. They're bad in the field. Like when they got swept by the Reds, it was just a comedy of errors just in general. Like they committed two more errors against the Braves. I mean, it comes at a perfect time for Atlanta. You know, they're getting hot with a win today. They're going to get back to 500 after, you know, not playing baseball for the first 2 weeks. So good for them, but phew, Colorado, man, it's a sight to see. It's like an exploding car wreck on the highway. You got to turn to look, but you just like, ugh.
Yeah. Yeah. It's ugly over there in Colorado, and it's no sign of getting better anytime soon. At least this season. But it's one team that has gotten a lot better. They got a lot better in the offseason, and they've played like one of the best teams in baseball so far. And I'm sorry to say it, Drew, but they're in your division, and that is the Chicago Cubs. You know, they added Kyle Tucker in the offseason. They made some additions to their rotation and whatnot, but they have done very well, and they've won more times than they've lost, and that's what you need in a ball team, is to win more times than you lose, and they've done that extremely well to this point. And they've done it so well and have been such a good team that Baseball Reference, and you kind of brought this up yesterday with a different team, but Baseball Reference has World Series chances for teams that continuously update, and these chances are probably higher today because this graphic that I'm about to put on the screen came out before yesterday's game, in which the Cubs did win. So they have another win. The chances are probably a little higher. But before that game, the Chicago Cubs had a 15.9% chance to win the 2025 World Series. If you're watching on YouTube, I did just put up the graphic. This is from Fox. It was out on Twitter, and it's Baseball Reference's 2025 World Series championship odds. It has all 30 teams and their odds to win. Let's see. There are a good handful of teams with less than 0.1% odds to win the World Series. But you know who's not? Who doesn't have less than 0.1% chance to win the World Series there, Drew?
The Cincinnati Reds. Yeah, I see the Cincinnati Reds with greater than, well, it's 0.6 right now. But you know what? I will take it. It's awesome, and we are tied with your beloved Phillies.
What's crazy is the Braves have a higher percent right. chance to win the World Series than the Phillies and the Reds and a bunch of other teams. But if still, you look up there at the number one team here, and it's the Chicago Cubs. And number two is the team we talked about on Monday, the Detroit Tigers. So my question here is, Drew, are we going to get a Chicago Cubs and Detroit Tigers World Series?
Dude, that'd be awesome. It's like, that's all Midwest. Major League Baseball would love it because they're not doing the cross-country flight like they did last year. It would be great. I would love that because I could probably fall into a couple grand to try and go to a game. I joke, obviously. But no, it'd be awesome because like the Cubs have been like mid for a little while. Obviously, they went and they won the World Series back in 2016. But neither of these teams are the ones that people expect to do well. Because like you've obviously got the coastal elites. You got the Yankees, the Mets, the Dodgers especially. But like when you look at that, it feels wide open. Like baseball kind of feels wide open right now because you do have the Cubbies who even Kyle Tucker he's not even the best player by war right now. It's Pete Crow Armstrong, their center fielder, who's been fantastic. He leads baseball with 12 stolen bases right now, in addition to all the other fun things. Ian Happ, he leads it in plate appearances, so never mind. But, like, the Cubs have been awesome. The Tigers, you know, outside of the first pitch curse that we put on them, losing the last two games since talking about them, they've been great. And they both, oddly enough, play in the worst division divisions in baseball. So they've got pretty easy roads, relatively, to get to the playoffs. And then obviously once playoffs happen, anything can happen. And you just got to get hot at the right second. So I would love it if there's a Cubs-Tigers World Series. I'd probably root for the Tigers, considering their AAA club is here in Toledo. And if you've never been to a minor league stadium, absolutely go, because minor league baseball is so much fun. I love it. And Mud Hens put on a great show. I've been to the Clippers. It's awesome. But, I'm right now, obviously, because it is still April, it's going to be May tomorrow. And it feels wide open. I feel like somebody in that single digits, give or take, other than the Braves, are probably going to catch fire at some point and throw a serious wrench into what we're expecting for the season. And then obviously with the Dodgers probably going to falter there for a while unless they really sell out to fix their rotation. We have a whole lot of baseball left, but it's been a lot of fun, and I'm happy that we don't have the little less than sign next to the Reds right now. It's fantastic. I'm on cloud nine. We're 3 games over .500. Awesome.
yes, indeed. For the Detroit Tigers, this would be their first World Series appearance since 2012, assuming they do make it. And they have not won a World Series since 1984. Mm-mm. So it's been quite some time for the Detroit faithful. And another thing that I wanted to point out is I think you did give me my cold open for tomorrow with your since it'll be May 1st. So thank you for that, Drusif. Wanted to give you a heads up ahead of time. And then, of course, something else I wanted to point out for the Cubs specifically is another graphic came out yesterday before their game yesterday. And it was ranking the toughest schedules in baseball entering yesterday. And again, if you're looking on YouTube, put the graphic on the screen here, entering April 29th, the toughest schedules in MLB and their records. Number one toughest schedule is the Chicago Cubs. Their opponent's win percentage entering yesterday was 0.576. Number two is the Texas Rangers with a 0.556 opponent winner percentage. Number three, the Miami Marlins with a 0.542 win percentage. Number four, the Mariners, 0.536. And number five, the Houston Astros, 0.535. Now, one of these things is certainly not like the other, as four of those five teams have records above 500. But the Cubs, the team, with the highest opponent winning percentage to yesterday's point in the season, have the best record out of those five teams at 17-12, and that is a big reason why they have the best World Series odds, because they entering yesterday, they had the toughest schedule to that point, and then moving forward for the rest of the season, at least as it stood yesterday, they have the easiest schedule the rest of the way according to opponents' winning percentage, because they don't play the Dodgers again. They don't play a lot of the teams in the National League West again because they've already played them their allotted amount of times. So it's the Cubs have one of the best paths in quite some time to make it to the postseason. And then with how good they are, it's a realistic possibility that they can make it to the World Series, even over the Dodgers. We talked about it yesterday. The Dodgers pitching staff is becoming depleted more and more every week, but with injuries, and their offense isn't going to be able to carry them the whole way, and their bullpen is going to falter down the stretch because of how much work they're going to be put under with the more that their starting rotation depletes. And so it's just everything to this point is lining up in the Cubs' favor.
It really is. Because like you see this all the time. You don't see it nearly as much in baseball, especially now that we have the standardized scheduling where everyone plays everybody, and you don't get to pump up your record by beating up on the White Sox, the Rockies, the Pirates, or the Reds every other year. But you see this obviously in other sports like the NFL. there are, you know, in the AFC North, you have the Baltimore Ravens, who, when they win the division, everyone expects them to go to the Super Bowl, Lamar in the playoffs notwithstanding. And it's because the AFC North is an incredibly difficult division. Whereas, say, take the last year we had, the last couple of years, we've had the Minnesota Vikings, who win 15 games in the regular season, but they don't go anywhere in the playoffs because during the regular season, they're just not tested. They have a weak schedule, or they won in a way that was unsustainable. And I think right now with the Cubs, it's the complete opposite. Like, they're doing incredibly well against a strong schedule. They haven't played the Reds yet, so watch yourself. They've played incredibly well against great competition. Like, you know, they got a great 1-2 in the rotation with Shota Imanaga and Matthew Boyd. And that's 1.8 combined war between them. Imanaga's got a 2.77 ERA, and Matthew Boyd in five starts, while Imanaga's made seven, has a 2.54 ERA. They're serious. They're good. And the problem is they know that they're good. And then once we get closer to the trade deadline, they're going to find somebody. They're going to find someone to help that gets to the next level in that lineup. And they're honestly, I was super wrong. You texted me about the Cubs trading for Kyle Tucker, and I was like, nah, I was wrong. I was very wrong. But I'm definitely looking forward to when the Cubbies start playing the Reds, because I think that'll be a good litmus test for the Reds. One, because you got to see where you are, where you're stacking up. Because while they did play three of those five already on that list, I don't think they've been adequately tested. Yeah, they've had six games against the Giants, and they've done pretty well there, and they played the Rangers, but I'm interested to see how they're going to hold up against the Cubbies and the Mets and so on and so forth.
Yeah, and, you know, you bring up the Mets, and we kind of touch on it here and there whenever we're talking about whenever we're talking about the games that teams have played every day and whatnot. But whereas the Cubs have the toughest schedule and really, really good chances of going to the World Series, and yes, for the record, you know, credit where it's due, the Mets are sitting in third place entering yesterday for Baseball Reference's World Series chances. They have an 11% chance there. But at the same time, the New York Mets rank fifth on this next little graphic here. The easiest schedules in MLB and their records. The easiest schedule in MLB entering yesterday belonged to the Boston Red Sox, who had an opponent win percentage of .431. Number two is the Cleveland Guardians, .463. Number three, the Athletics, .463. Number four, the Twins, .466. And number five, the Mets, .466. And, of course, they did win last night against the Diamondbacks. They are now 21-9. But it's something that I've been talking about all season long, is people should not be getting so excited about the New York Mets, because they've been beating the opponents that are below 500 for the most part. And, you know, out of their 30 games that they played entering a couple of days ago, 20 of them have come against teams with records below 500. And yes, they have beat teams with records above 500. And, you know, you're going to do that. Even the Rockies, I'm sure that their wins have come against teams above 500. But at the same time, people are getting way, way, way too excited about this New York Mets team, where the offense has just been essentially Pete Alonso and maybe Francisco Lindor here and there, and then a couple of other guys contributing every game or two. But other than that, the starting pitching has pitched way above their heads, because none of those starting pitchers are as good as they have performed, because they have been feasting on weak competition. And the bullpen is good. They do have a good bullpen. But at the same time, it might not be as good as it has been to this point. I mean, Edwin Diaz hasn't been good on the whole, but it may not be as good as it has been to this point because, again, feasting on weak competition. So am I off base here by thinking that there is going to be some kind of come-to-Jesus moment with the New York Mets at some point in this season?
there will probably be some regression to the mean. I do think that the Mets are fine. I do find it hilarious that, you know, despite the weakest schedule and everything like that, you know, they were able to sweep your Phillies and everything. So, and it's going, yeah, they're going to be interesting to watch, because I think that there's going to be a little regression to the mean, for them, because, you know, beating up on bad teams. But ultimately, it's going to be whether or not, because have they played the Braves to this point? Because I don't have them pulled.
They don't play the Braves until June.
That's really weird, as considering they're in the division. But beating up on bad teams is what good teams are supposed to do. So if the Mets give themselves enough of a cushion by beating up on these bad teams, and then, you know, even if they flounder against good teams, the playoffs are still right there. That's the fun thing about the standardized scheduling and everything like that. But I also do assume that since they have played all these bad teams to start, they have a pretty backloaded schedule, which could come back to bite them. So they're playing, obviously, with Steve Cohen in their corner, so they can literally trade in pay for whatever they want. And Steve Cohen has made no bones about it. He is more than willing to shell out that money. I'm still thinking that the Mets will be fine. I do want to ask you, because obviously you'll continue to poke this bear until it is dead. You're going to beat this horse beyond recognition. And I love that, because it's just fun. If we get to the end of May and they are 40-20 or whatever, and they double their wins at this point, give or take, like how far would we have to go before you're like, you know what, I was wrong? Because obviously I'm walking back my preseason comments about the Cubs, and I don't like saying that because they take over Great American Ballpark every time they're in freaking town. But yeah, I'm just curious, you know, if there's a line that you'd be like, you know what, yeah, the Mets are good, and you know, I was a little bit wrong.
Well, you know, I'm glad you asked that, because I did want to clear up some things, and this is one of the things that I do want to clear up. I don't think that the Mets are bad, and I'm not saying that you're saying I said that. I don't think the Mets are bad. I don't think they're as good as their record indicates. So coming into the season, in the offseason, I have the Mets finishing third in the division behind the Braves, who I have winning the division, and the Phillies, who I have finishing in second. And so, again, I want to make sure I'm clear here. I don't think the Mets are bad. I just don't think they are as good as their record indicates, and I don't think people should be getting as excited as they are about the New York Mets to this point in the season. Yes, they could prove me wrong. They could finish better than third in the division, and so far they are leading the division 4.5 games above the Phillies, who are in second place. They're 13-1 at home, but they're 8-8 on the road. They've a lot of their wins have come at home, obviously, but it's and I agree also with you. I wanted to say this also, that you are supposed to beat the teams that are put in front of you, regardless of what their record are. So yeah, I'm not. I know I'm poking the bear a lot, but I want to be clear that I'm not bashing the Mets and saying they're just outright bad for beating up on bad teams. I don't think they're as good as they have indicated thus far. And on paper, I still think that the Philadelphia Phillies and the Atlanta Braves are both better than the New York Mets on paper. To this point in the season, have either any of the three teams played to what I expect them to do on paper? Hell no. The Mets are in first place in the division. The Braves are in third. The Phillies, I guess, have, because they're in second, and that's where I had them finishing in the division. But they still haven't played to the level that I think they're capable of playing. And so it's going to take quite a lot for me to say that the Mets are better than I thought they were. And it's going to take a lot of winning against good teams. And yes, so far to their credit, they are 7-3 against teams above 500. But that also means they're 14-6 against teams below 500. So it's it's going to take a lot to answer your question in a roundabout way.
I get that. I mean, Kyle Tucker and Pete Crow Armstrong have had to have these obnoxiously good seasons to start the season, I should say, before I, you know, walked back my comments. But I am, you know, I'm looking forward to, it looks like the Mets and the Phillies don't play again until toward the end of June. So that will be a lot of fun to watch how that unfolds, because the Mets do have, stop doing that. All right, so we got the Diamondbacks. Then they got they got a road trip against the Cardinals, which, not trying to win baseball games. They got they go again to the Diamondbacks. Then they're at home against the Cubbies. So May 9, 10, 11, that weekend series, that'll be fun to watch. Then after three against Pittsburgh, they've got three against the Yankees and then three against the Red Sox, and then they're playing host to the Dodgers. So I think there will probably be some regression to the mean, which will allow the Braves to just rocket on by at their current torrid pace, which is insane, because you can't really count them out. It was like the Astros, I think last year they started off pretty rough for the first month and a half, 2 months, and they ended up, you know, doing incredibly well. I'm fine with saying the Mets are pretty good, but I do understand where you're coming at, because yeah, they've beaten the Phillies, and that is essentially the only decent good. They swept the Blue Jays, who are probably not nearly as good as they probably should be. But yeah, no, I understand. I definitely wasn't saying that you thought that they just plain out sucked. I didn't think. Yeah, I was definitely not trying to say that you think they're worse than the Marlins and they should honestly just fold at this point. But no, I definitely understand where you're coming from. But 21-9, you got to beat the bad teams. Good teams beat bad teams. You just got to take care of business, and everything else will fall into place. And that's just honestly what the Mets are doing, and I can't blame them for that, because we can't do that in Cincinnati. So, no, yeah, I just wanted to poke you a little bit for that.
No, for sure. It was a valid question. I'm glad that I was able to clear that up, because I know I'm going to get a lot of hate in the comments. I've already gotten a lot of hate in comments and Discord channels and Twitter and all kinds of other stuff. And it's just, I also want to make sure that people understand basic math. Because there are people on Twitter that are like, well, of course the teams are going to be under 500 because the Mets beat them. And the team that the Mets have played the most is the Miami Marlins. They've played them 6 times. The Miami Marlins have played 29 games. The Mets 4 wins against the Miami Marlins does not automatically mean that the Marlins are below 500. Learn freaking math, people. It's not hard. I have very little tolerance for ignorance and just stupidity. I have 0 to none. And so just learn math. It's not hard. It's simple math. Like my 6-year-old could do this math. Jesus Christ.
My little girl turned 18 months today, so she can't do math just yet.
That's understandable, but like full grown adults is who I'm talking about.
Yeah, I know. I'm just messing.
Your 18-month-old will know how to do simple math better than they do, I am sure. So it's
she's going to be calculating relievers ERA in a couple months. So no worries there. She's a very smart little girl.
And she just, hey, I'm ready for her to start saying Hunter Green deserves better. That's all I'm asking.
Soon, very very soon. She's got the Hunter Green part down.
She got the Hunter Green part down. Good deal. Good job. And speaking of very soon, at 2:10 p.m. Eastern today, the Detroit Tigres face the Houston Astros. Jackson Job at a blue ball.
AJ.
Okay. Tigers are looking to move to 19-12. Astros look to move to 17-13. An hour later at 3:10 p.m. Eastern, Braves at the Rockies. Chris Sale in Colorado. Good luck, Braves, against Chase Dolander, also in Colorado. Good luck, Rockies. Braves look to move to 500 at 15-15. Rockies look to win a game. Also at 3:10 p.m. Eastern, Marlins at the Dodgers. Cal Quantrill at Tony Gonsolin making his season debut for the Dodgers. Marlins look to move to 13-17. Dodgers look to move to 21-10. More simple math for you. The Marlins have 17 losses. The Mets only account for four of them. Suck on that, you dumbasses. 4:10 p.m. Eastern, Angels at the Mariners. Angels look to move to 13-16 behind Tyler Anderson. Mariners look to move to 18-12 behind Hancock. We got Hancock and Blue Ball going on the same day. All we're missing is Cock and Alex. 4:10 p.m. Eastern, Giants at the Padres. Giants look to move to 20-11. Padres look to move to 19-11. We got Roop versus King in that one. 2 hours later, 6:10 p.m. Eastern, Twins at the Guardians. Twins look to move to 14-17. Guardians look to move to 17-13. 6:35 p.m. Eastern, Yankees at the Orioles. Carlos Carrasco at, I'm guessing, Cade Povich. Yankees look to move to 19-12. Orioles look to move to 12-18. 5 minutes later, 6:40 p.m. Eastern, Cubs at the Pirates. Matthew Boyd on the mound for the Cubs against Mladzinski for the Pirates. Cubs look to move to 19-12. Pirates look to move to 12-19. 5 minutes later again, Nationals at the Phillies. Jake Irvin at Christopher Sanchez. Nationals look to move to 14-17. Phillies look to move to 17-13. 20 minutes later, 7:05 p.m. Eastern, Royals at the Rays. Royals look to move to 16-15. Rays look to move back to 500 at 15-15. 2 minutes later, Red Sox at the Blue Jays. Red Sox, excuse me, look to move to 18-14. Blue Jays look to move to 14-16. Lucas Giolito making his season debut for the Red Sox, and Toronto throwing TBD. 3 minutes later, 7:10 p.m. Eastern, Arizona Diamondbacks at the New York Mets. Diamondbacks look to move to 16-14. Mets look to move to 22-9. Corbin Burns versus TBD. 7:40 p.m. Eastern, Brewers at the White Sox. Brewers look to move to 16-15. White Sox look to move to 8-22. 25 minutes later, Athletics at the Rangers. A's look to move to 16-15. Rangers look to move to 17-14. Luis Severino versus Nathan Eovaldi, quietly one of the better pitching matchups of the day. Plus, of course, Hancock and Blue Ball were facing each other. And then our split doubleheader for the day. 12:40 p.m. Eastern is the first game, and 6:40 p.m. Eastern is the second game. Cardinals at the Reds. First game sees Miles Michaelis versus Brady Singer. Second game sees Steven Matz versus TBD. Cardinals look to move to 14-17 after the day, and Reds look to move to 18-13. Drusev, final thoughts on today's games, as well as the doubleheader between the Reds and the Cardinals.
I'm definitely looking forward to this doubleheader because Miles Michaelis sucks against the Reds, and it looks like, we haven't gotten an official announcement, but it looks like the Reds will be calling up their sixth ranked prospect, Chase Petty, not Chase Burns. That would be awesome. I would be over the moon. Chase Petty, I'm getting him mixed up, to start the 6:40 game. That'll be the TBD. A left-handed pitcher for the Cardinals makes me a little nervous because the Reds just historically suck against left-handed pitching. But they're also, because they're dealing with a handful of guys that are a little bit banged up, like Austin Hayes has a hamstring. Jamer Candelario is not good at baseball, so he'll probably hit the IL. And they're going to call up their 29th ranked prospect, Tyler Callahan. And I'm expecting him to make his debut in some way, shape, or form, I don't know if he'll be in the starting lineup or he'll be off the bench in that first matchup against the right-handed pitching Michaelis, because he is a left-handed batter himself. I'm looking forward to it. If they can do what they did on Monday for both those games and get at least three out of the four, I would be very happy, because beating the Dirty Birds is always a good thing to do. And they got to catch up with the Cubs, who just seem to not slow down. I'm looking forward to it. I love doubleheaders. I really wish that I wasn't working through the first one, but I'll take it. I can still listen to it at work. My boss don't care. we got a full slate of baseball. It'd be nice if the other NL Central teams were playing better teams, but you know, the Brewers have the White Sox and blah. Love it.
Yeah, it's going to be a good day. It's always a good day when there is baseball, and it's always a good day when you join us here on First Pitch. So if you're watching on YouTube, hit that subscribe button, turn on the notification icon so you can be notified when another episode just like this goes live. If you're listening on audio, leave us a five-star rating, share the show with your friends, send them to firstpitchpodcast.com so they can get their daily source of baseball talk. Until next time, this has been First Pitch.